Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is August 8th.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You own it.
I was eating, well, my mom's birthday was 5, oh, and Julian's birthday is 10.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So it's
how old is Julian going to be, 26?
26.
You are old, man.
Yes, it's a full, he's good, all the way grown.
Grown. like grown. Taxes, yeah. 401k.
Like, yeah. He might be looking at some grandchildren in a minute.
The Speezy. I'm still in these streets.
Heavy.
Yeah, I'm still popping.
Pop Jeff gonna be out here,
yeah,
baby.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I ain't ready for no those grandbabies.
The grandmas that are outside, they call themselves glamas. What's the grandfather equivalent of that?
I don't know, because I'm not ready to even have that conversation.
Poppy Jeff?
I could do Poppy, I guess. But I ain't ready for that.
Okay.
I'm still out there
putting it in the universe.
Yeah, no, put that in the universe.
I can't keep baby this weekend. Migos coming to town.
Drake and Young Thug doing the showdown in Terminal 5. I can't. That shit. Baby be alright. He'd be alright. Leave him by himself. He'd be alright.
Get the baby some of the little concert earmuffs. Yeah, exactly. Get that baby rocking.
Blues get blues clues. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
Like we said before the show started, I mean, nobody really cares, but piece to the deli that was downstairs,
yeah,
that, that looks like got repoed by the marshals.
Oh, they took all of that.
All of that. They took everything out of there, too. Ain't nothing left.
Well, usually what happens is, I have little experience, not with the marshals.
The old Kit Kats and all that shit.
Yeah, you basically take all that out.
What do they do with all that shit?
You can, if they have another store, they sell that to the other store. Like when my business went out of business, I had a freezer full of chicken.
Mm. So you just sold it to somebody else.
Sold it, nigga. I took it home. I had a rest of that food. So you probably split that up, take it home.
Right.
You know, you ain't leave it. You ain't gonna leave it there for them to take.
Who got the con bars? That's what I want to know.
Shit. They probably sell them shit on
$7. $16 a damn con bar.
I used to go down there, no lie. Altoids, water, and a small thing of watermelon.
$13.50.
$14. And be looking
without
at
blinking.
Straight face.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, and?
Yeah.
So, peace to them. Peace to the Carters. I went to end up going to the show.
Oh, yeah, so last you guys Thursday. Got evacuated, right?
Yeah, it was, it's been like crazy weather here in the Northeast, like really bad storms for the past couple of weeks. So, one of those storms is rolling up the coast. So, I got there late. I got there, Khaled was ending. And then we just sat there for a while. Like, it was like, okay, when's the show start? And started, you know, so looking at your watch, it's like 9:30,
mm-hmm.
It's 9:45, quarter right. to 10, you know, 10 to 10. I said, what the fuck is really going on? And then all of a sudden, this man walks out with two state troopers and grabs the mic, and he's like, okay, in the Jersey accent, everybody's going to have to leave the stadium. All you people, walk through there. All you people, walk through there. And we were like, first of all, people are kind of perplexed, but like, shockingly,
you don't actually leave the stadium. You go
just
into
go
the,
in. We go. You either could stay in the you know, the round part, or like our tickets were connected to kind of like the where the food, the club area.
Oh, so okay.
A lot of people went down there, but like no beefs. People just left. Like it wasn't like what the fuck. It was like all right.
But wasn't it also like weren't y'all? Because I heard that people were getting tornado warnings on their phone out there, which I was not getting.
You get a flash. You get a lot of flash.
Yeah.
But I was not getting it like right across the bridge. I wasn't.
Yeah, that's also what's been weird about the weather in the New York area is like jumping forward to Saturday because I went to the Originals thing on Saturday.
Right.
So my friend Lloyd, she lives in Brooklyn, and she's like, it's pouring out here, and in White Plains it was sunny.
Right.
It's been weird, like
pockets. Two people got hit by lightning in Queens yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. But didn't even rain. It did rain in the city mad late because it got dark. But like it's been like it's like pockets of craziness and then pockets where it's not that bad. So anyway, we walked out the stadium. We stayed under the thing for like 45 minutes. They brought us back out at like around 10:30, 10:40, and they went on at 11 and did the full show.
Right.
They did the full show. So we got out of there at 1 a.m. Great show. I mean, not surprising. I mean, they have the money to have great production and all. So the production is great. But your man Jay was wearing some mean suits, man. He had a couple suits that was like, wow. But and he looks really good with the hair.
Are you sure?
No, he does. He looks really good.
He don't really look.
He looks really good with the hair.
He like, it looks like I mean, he is your uncle, but he really looks like your uncle.
Well,
I know, that's why I said he is your uncle. But I think the reason that is jarring is because be out here trying to look like a teenager.
Yeah, and Ho has had a Caesar for 20 years.
Right. That's it. Yeah. And so he's grown, and all of a sudden he's grown, he's like a fucking, what you call it, like Hendrix.
Yeah, because like, he's got like, the twist. Like, I'm like, okay, you twisted it like you're going to keep this going.
Like, you didn't even do that in the 2000s.
When he just grew a crazy fro, and then he cut it off once the record was done.
Yeah.
But this joint looks like he's going to, like, let some dreads come. The thing that was interesting about Hov is, like, he seems to be in a very
comfortable,
happy place.
Agreed.
And when you watch him on stage, even, he's a little more energetic. He's a little more animated. He's dancing a little. Look, he's not, you know, he's not Cisco. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Speaking of the old reference, it's the only person that popped in my head for some reason, but he ain't doing that. Yeah. But you can see, like, he's like, yo, I'm with my wife.
Well, I think everything part of good. It is like on some, I don't have to do this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to do this shit. I don't have to worry about ticket sales. I don't have to worry about album sales.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even promoting.
I'm doing it because I want to.
Yeah, I'm not even really promoting. I'm just out.
Yeah. Here. And they both seem like they're just really enjoying each other on the show. Like, they seem to be really, look, I mean, you know, who knows? It could be some, you know, acting too. I don't think so. But, like, it just seems like they're very happy. Like, in a good space right now. They got the new babies.
This is also a home show for him.
Right.
That too. He had the crib.
Probably made some fried chicken and something.
Yeah.
Boy down in the Falls.
Yeah, South Gloria. Yes. Yeah.
You know, some greens.
I put your plate over to the side.
Yeah, don't worry. I put some extra on for the bus, too.
Exactly. Your boys would eat that. And, of course, I mean, I know, like, you know, Kaiser and, like, a lot of his friends and stuff.
Yeah, so there's a lot.
I saw Pecos when I was walking in, like, sort of whole rock. So, needless to say, it was a really good show. I respect to them for not cutting it short. Because they started so late. They gave us the full 2 hours. Beats sounded great. Hope sounded great. You know, if you get a chance to go, you know, and you can get some tickets for a decent price, which I did, actually.
Okay. I paid.
Because Sydney, friend to the room,
he
called me the day of, and he was like, yo, Beyonce tickets, call me. So I texted him. I called him. He's like, yo, there's a kid at the job, Ted, who's, like, really good at going on the day of and getting good prices.
Okay.
So we paid, you know, it's still, you know, it's not cheap. It was $200 a ticket.
Oh, that's not bad for that, though.
Yes, because there's a woman literally right behind me when we were evacuating. Mm. She was like, I know that one thing. They better do this show because I paid $400 a ticket.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, I'm one row in front of this lady and I paid half her price.
Right.
So they just, you know, if you go on day of, apparently, at a certain time.
Because they want to move the tickets.
They just want to get them out at that point. Yeah. So the prices really come down.
Yeah.
As opposed to the early sale where people are paying $1,200. So that, and then Peace to the Originals, like I mentioned Saturday, I went to that at Central Park.
I was sad to miss that.
It was good. It was good. It was hot out there. But it was good. It was good.
Like,
you know,
oppressively hot, right?
It was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't get there till like 7:30. So the sun had started to kind of go down. But that was a good show. So, you know, it's New York. It's summer.
Yeah.
A lot of shit going on.
And we got Sunday Sermon coming this weekend.
Sunday Sermon this weekend.
If the rain don't fuck it up. Because it's supposed to rain all day Saturday, but part of the day on Sunday.
See, but that was what they said last week about originals. It was supposed to rain all day Friday and Saturday. It rained Friday. It rained early Saturday, then cleared out.
Well, I got a tarp I can put on the ground, so I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, so, you know. So
I can get that popping. While we're on the Carters, we should probably shout out real quick to Beyonce. We talked about her Vogue cover last week.
Yeah, a lot of black women covers
so
are out.
It's, wait, let me actually look at my phone.
I posted all of them.
It's a bunch of them. It's, and I'm going to miss some of them. So it's Beyonce on Vogue. It's Rihanna on British Vogue, or UK Vogue, whatever. It is, hold on, I'm on the wrong
Instagram. I know Tracee Ellis is on one.
Tracee Ellis is on Elle Canada.
Lupita's on something.
Wait, hold on. Zendaya's on Marie Claire. Lupita's in Netta Porter.
Okay.
Tiffany Haddish is on Glamour.
Oh, yeah.
what you call it, our girl, Zara Shahidi is on the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yara, I mean, what I'm calling
Yeah, Yara.
Yara Shahidi is on Hollywood Reporter. Issa is on Ebony. And I'm missing somebody.
Yeah, but it's definitely Black Woman cover month, which is, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah, and everybody looks amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And then this weekend we got the new show. I want to see the new show on OWN. You know me, my OWN now.
Wait, now I was still about to talk about me.
Oh, my fault. I'm skipping the line.
So in the article.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't read it. Did you actually read it?
I read that part of it.
Okay.
I have to read the whole thing. But in the article, which, by the way, in true Beyonce fashion, was not actually an interview. Beyonce does not really do interviews at this point in her career. She wrote an open
She wrote an essay. Okay.
And one of the things she talks about was that with the twins, she had a condition that sometimes happens with older women carrying, where there was too much protein in her. Like, her body was making too much protein, so she was on bed rest the last month.
Wow.
And then she ended up having, the twins went into distress while she was giving birth, so she ended up having to have an emergency C-section. And apparently it was, like, really touch and go for a minute. And that is, and she didn't necessarily say if this specifically happened to her, but I think it did, because she even brought it up. She was like, you know, when you have C-sections, sometimes they got to take your organs out, they put them back in. Jesus, you know, all kind of shit can happen. So that's why. And, you know, then she was, I think, on bed rest for like a month after surgery. So everybody's been like, she must be pregnant. And I've been saying, like, with a woman her age, like, she's had three, like, she had twins.
Yeah. She had three babies in a short,
because people were like, well, she snapped back with Blue. And I'm like, she was 30 having a single baby with Blue. True. She is 35 having twins.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
That's a huge difference. So now I hope that all y'all, because people were, when I actually but you were like, okay, but I can see that. But I had people really tell me, like, I said something like, a woman in her late 30s has twins like a year ago, and y'all really think it's more likely that she's pregnant again than that she just still hasn't bounced back.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, oh, you reaching. I'm reaching, but her being pregnant is not. Like, come on, on a world tour, it's not.
She listed as toxemia. I think most people know this as preeclampsia.
Yeah.
When you have a lot of protein. It is very serious. I'm speaking as a husband who dealt with that.
Okay.
It is immediate. Like, we literally went to, like, I think it was maybe like the last routine visit for Jordan. And, you know, last routine visit is usually like about a month before the due date.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, okay, well, this is routine, right? We're good. So I'll just park right out front, and I'll stay in the car so I don't have to park in the lot and all of that shit. I'll be waiting.
Right.
And then I get a frantic phone call like, yo, come in here right now. I'm like, are you sure? Like, I'm about to leave the car. Like, fuck the car. Come in here now. Come in there. Doctor's like, we're delivering the baby now.
Right then.
I'm like,
wow.
Wait, what?
I said, so, like, I need to go get her bag. I didn't have her bag in the car.
Of course not. You wasn't prepared.
I wasn't prepared for that, right? The bag is at the house. He's like, no, you don't have time to get anything. Get in the car, drive straight to Beth Israel right now. They're going to be waiting for you. Literally pulled up to Beth Israel.
And they were standing outside.
They was waiting outside for her with the bed, all of that shit. We were by the time I went around the corner, parked the car and went upstairs, she was already in scrubs and all of that shit. They was ready to.
That's wow. Crazy.
Like, so we're talking the span of like 30 minutes.
Wow.
The difference between her thinking everything is okay
and a baby coming.
And I was in the room. At this point, I didn't see Justin born because he was a C-section as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they didn't let you in. And this, you know, at this point, you know, the rooms are sterile very differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to come in, and they kept saying, "Don't look over that sheet."
Right.
Of course. Don't look over that sheet. Don't look. Nah, I didn't. But I'm a little strong with stuff like that. That doesn't, you know, faze me or move me. But they was definitely like, you know, I know you think you good.
Right.
You've seen plenty of business.
But I'm telling you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I say all that to say that is a serious condition.
Yeah.
Not everybody's body bounces back.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're talking about someone who lives a lifestyle that is not routine.
Yeah.
You know, like that can also add to it.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, the flying, the traveling, you know, your body.
Sleeping hours.
Your body. Yeah. Exactly. Your body is very different. And just physically, not everyone adjusts to the same. So, I mean, you can have the same exact surgery.
And it'd be totally
and we would heal differently.
Right. Yeah, true. Is that what Serena had as well?
Serena had a clot.
Okay.
And she is prone to clots. That was Serena's problem. Serena
had
to go into surgery, go back into surgery after childbirth.
Sidebar, she was in her last tournament, she got bumped out like in her worst loss ever. But like I saw some clips of it, and I don't know if it was, you never know. I don't know if it was something going on. Person or whatever, or she wasn't trying to play.
Well, she talked about having postpartum.
Yeah, she was on the court like whatever, man. Like how much more time I got to be out
here? She also may have been tired. I mean, like
tired. She came back. The Wimbledon, you know, was a big.
But a lot of people are like, oh, she came back too soon. I don't think she came back too soon. She still went to the fucking finals.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But it's like she's human.
And not just that, like those other fucking people, they're not taking it easy on her.
Yeah. Exactly,
like, they coming with their A game.
That's a chip on your belt.
Yeah, they're coming with their A game, and she's not. You know, she's probably operating at 70% capacity. Yeah.
Maybe
you know what I'm saying, and you know, she's an older woman now.
Yeah. Especially in tennis.
She's a grandmother.
Yeah, she's a dinosaur. Yeah, she's playing girls that are like 18 and 19. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they still drug testing her, which is offensive.
Like multiple times, which is ridiculous.
They just did it again recently.
Sidebar to the sidebar. Seeing Beyonce, you know, live, she looked great. Like whatever that bulge or bloat was, it's gone.
See it. No, it's two things. In person, you don't really see it. Part of it is cameras, but also the way things can go when you have had abdominal surgeries is that the more active you are, you start to bloat and you start to swell. So I think that what happens is she looks a little bigger maybe towards the end of her performances than at the beginning. Because I know when I had abdominal surgery for my fibroids, my doctor said it was going to take over a year for my body to get back to normal. And sure enough, even like we moved, I think 6 months later, and like at the end of moving furniture, like my belly would be like swollen.
So peace to the Carters. I really enjoyed it.
Leave Beyonce alone. Let women fucking recover from birth like normal ass people.
Fucking amazing. Let her live. Yeah. Did you watch Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I did.
You don't watch Hard Knocks.
I don't watch Hard Knocks. Okay.
Okay, if you do decide to watch, it's the first episode. You're at the beginning.
Okay.
So this year they're doing the Cleveland Browns. First episode I thought was you know pretty interesting. You know it's a team. They were 0-16 last year. This team is horrible.
Okay.
Like, well they were. They got a bunch of new players, a bunch of young guys that have some talent. They got the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. They got Jarvis Landry. He's a great receiver. They got the kid, the linebacker, Miles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
So they got some talent. We'll see. But this first episode is basically about the coach, Hugh Jackson, whose sister had died.
His brother?
Yeah, right, because he's talking to his sister.
Yeah.
His brother had died 8 days previous to the taping.
Oh, shit.
And his mom died during the taping.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he lost his mom and his brother, like, in, like, a week or two.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it was kind of a trip.
Both sudden?
No, I don't know about the brother, but the sister, he's talking on the phone to his sister. He's like, how's mom doing?
Right.
And, you know, she's trying to sugarcoat it a bit. Like, she was all right today. And he's like, so it sounds like the mother had been getting progressively worse or whatever. And then she dies. But it was a trip because, like, I mean, I guess a lot of people, but especially black men, he's trying to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's tough, but so he's like watching film with his coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they're like in the middle of the film session. He's like, oh yeah, like by the way, my mom died yesterday. And they're like, what?
Right.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Right.
And what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, it's tough. So he's like, so what defense is that? Like, he's, like, trying to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
And keep it pushing in the general manager and, I guess, the president of the team.
Yeah.
They come in at one point, and he starts to kind of break down. And then he speaks in front of the whole team and tells them that his mother died. And even the team's kind of like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And, you know, he's like, yo, we got to get the practice, though. So it was a trip how he was trying not to deal with it at all. Like, you know.
He's also under an enormous.
Mad pressure.
Like, this is it for him.
Yeah. Like, if they don't win at least 4 or 5 games this year, he's going to lose his gig. They don't show improvement.
Yeah, he's done. And he might be done.
Yeah, because he's had chances.
Hughes had a lot of chances, mm-hmm. and a lot of his teams, I mean, listen, he's had to take shit jobs for the most part, but a lot of his teams don't really do well, and so I think if he doesn't do well here, he might be on the coordinating circuit.
Yeah, sort of. You know what? This show might get him some TV.
Right.
He might get on TV, like NFL Network or something like that. But it was the first episode, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was intense. They shoot that show incredibly well.
Crazy.
Visually, it is one of the most well shot shows I've ever seen.
Because you can really see, like, when they catch, like, the catches. Like, it looked like on TV, it's like, oh, that was a good catch. But then when they show, it's like, yo, that shit was crazy.
These crazy things that they're able to do. Yeah. And they show you, and just the way it's shot, man, like, you know, the aerial shots
and
all of that stuff, and where and who they decide to zoom in on versus who they don't decide. It's really, really intriguing. It's an entertaining show.
Yeah, it is. Real Housewives of Potomac. Do we watch?
I watched. I don't know if I have comments. Like I said last week, while they are still one of the most entertaining franchises, I'm bored with them, because I feel like there's nothing like this season. The only storyline that halfway interests me is Ashley's, and she's in denial about it. Yeah. But Ashley and Michael is like some other shit.
That's some other shit, dude.
Like, it's some other shit.
Like, he's looking at her in her face. Like, he's coming Michael's up with
over
every
her.
Excuse.
Michael's
yeah, over her. And come with every excuse in the book to not even have the child conversation.
Right. Well, because, first of all, I think there's a thing. Because my friends were like, Michael never intended on having a baby with her. She was just arm candy. I think that Michael actually might have been into her at first. Like, she's younger. She's fun. She's energetic. She's spontaneous. Whatever. And I think, because they hadn't been married that long when the show started.
No.
But I think he quickly was like, oh, this girl is annoying as fuck. And she's mad young. You know what I mean?
She doesn't understand. She's not picking up on the business stuff.
And she doesn't respect me.
Yeah.
Because Ashley does, like, she defers to him sometimes, but she also got that buck up attitude. Yeah. Like, when they were fighting over the restaurant, I was like, but Ashley, you are dead wrong. Like, I think the restaurant killed it.
I think you're right.
I think the restaurant killed it, and the mother compounded it.
Yeah.
Because she was dead wrong.
Yeah, in both cases.
In both counts.
And would just keep going.
Like it's nothing. And also, like, it ain't hurting her. It's hurting him.
Yeah, it's his money.
Yeah.
And at the end of it all, you know, I hate to sound, you know.
Like, he's an asshole, but I get it.
Yeah, he's a total asshole, but, like, I hate to sound, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the other one? Not feminist.
What, like,
too macho or whatever.
Oh, masochist?
I guess. Okay. It is. But, like, he can get another joint.
Yeah.
He can get another joint. He's looking at it like, I can get another joint.
I think...
Oh, sound like another a toxic woman. Masculine.
I think but I also think that he probably saw Ashley initially, and guess what, man? People change their minds.
That's true too.
Like Michael's not a fucking spring chicken.
But she's also
And five. Yeah, but I'm saying, like,
when they got married, Ashley was like 25.
Yeah. So they've been married. They've been together now what, about 8 years or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think when they first started dating, she was like 22 or 23.
Okay, so Michael is what, 58?
58, 59,
That's
it. Like, that's a massive difference.
But thinking about having a child at 51 is very different than 60.
Yeah.
And I think I think all of those other factors came into play. I think people are being very dismissive in his assessment that he doesn't feel like she's going to
be a good mom.
I think that she has shown a level of immaturity.
Yeah.
She has shown a level of poor decision making. She has shown a level of being, easily manipulated.
Yep.
And I can understand why a person who is getting to an age where, like, you think about fucking death.
Yeah.
Like, you think about dropping
you're on the other side of the
you
hill.
You know what the fuck might happen.
You're on the other side of the
hill. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that could be it. It could also be bullshit. It could also be, I don't fucking like you anymore.
Yeah, and I'm done.
And I'm not hitching myself any further to this wagon.
Yeah.
Also, you know, she read up on her agreement.
Prenup, yeah.
She read up on the prenup. So if she has a baby.
Yeah, she's locked for life. Yeah. That's, he's looking at it like
that's how.
If you have a baby with you, I can never get rid of you.
We definitely.
Yeah, you're here till I'm dead,
pretty much.
And otherwise, I can still slide out of here. What did y'all think about? That was my issue.
What?
And we've discussed this before, but I'm gonna bring it on back up again, bruh. This Chris dude. Who ain't seen his oldest child in 10 years? And apparently the child is 5 miles away.
Which is crazy.
5 miles, my nigga. Mm-hmm. And you ain't seen that kid, like Bruss said, if his name was Darnell or Tyrone or Deshaun, they would be ripping that nigga lip. First of all, he wouldn't have got with her.
Candace told the rest of the women this? I feel like she hasn't told them that.
No, because remember on the show.
Because she just told her mom
on the show about the oldest one.
Right, because I feel like the girls would have been like, what the fuck do you mean he ain't
so his kids? Let's run it down. So he had the baby by the first woman.
Right.
Who ain't seen in 10 years. So since 2008.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then he left that woman and they split up for some whatever reason. Then he got married.
Right.
And had two more kids. And got divorced. And don't see them either.
Right.
At all. They ain't been on the show. Nothing. But she thinks he's gonna marry her
and it's gonna be different.
And be fucking Mike Brady.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about here, man? And it just blows my mind how, like, I just really feel like because he's a white dude, he's just getting these passes. Ooh. Like for the mom because the women do know about the two younger ones.
They do?
Yes, they know about the younger ones. Okay. Yes, they do. They know. She's mentioned that he has kids.
But she mentioned like he don't.
She hasn't mentioned the circumstances.
Okay, man.
She hasn't mentioned the circumstances. And I think that probably by the reunion, you'll see some of that lashing out,
as they've
watched the show.
Yeah, like, wait a minute. He don't see none of his kids?
Yeah.
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 And of course, because he's a white dude, they all immediately assumed that he owns that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He manages that restaurant. He does not own that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So he again, look, I'm not discounting his job. It's fine. I'm saying, but he's a manager of a restaurant. He has three kids he never sees. He's been divorced. Like, what's the pull? What's the draw?
Right.
What's the draw? I don't get it.
I get a wedding and he's white.
That's it.
That's the only thing
so I can have some light skinned babies. Mm-hmm. Some high
this
yellows,
does sound
some mulattoes.
I believe, I definitely believe that I believe that her mother may have kind of
encouraged
that white is better.
Yeah.
Even though her mother married the corny black dude, but the black.
But the mother clearly bitter over the divorce, though.
Still mad? Like, yo, you're remarried. Why are you so told by her pops?
So, and I also think that I feel like Candace used to be the black girl who was trying to hang with the white girls.
Oh, there's no question.
Absolutely. So I think that she thinks white is better. And also, like, niggas might not fuck with her. Because she's annoying as fuck.
Yeah.
You are too.
That's niggas might be like, shorty, I ain't really
I can't. And then the wig. The puffy wigs and all that.
And the princess behavior.
The princess. You get mad at every little thing. Like, because even that also would irk me. Then we'll move on. When Chris was sitting on the couch pouting about hoping, I guess, that the two younger ones could come to the wedding and how the oldest one is definitely, like, not coming
because like, well,
probably the only one that's going to fuck with him. And he's sitting there kind of pouting and, you know, tearing up a little bit. And, like, and this is the second time she's done this when he's kind of, like, opened up to her. She, like, she acts, like, stupid. She acts goofy.
Pivots. Yeah.
No, she just acts goofy. Like, he's sitting there, like, damn near crying. She's like, I'm like, what the fuck, man? It's them that crying, and you like, you make it. It's like a joke. The same thing. Remember when he had the big argument. She called him a deadbeat dad and all that shit.
Yeah,
and
then she called him a deadbeat dad, but then got mad
because he called her a princess.
Because he called her a princess, but you called him the most hurtful thing you could possibly.
This is you're watching someone who is who gets a hard on about having this level of dynamic in their relationship. She enjoys this level of
the little drama,
kind of a superiority, right? Like, because she gets to point to all of these faults of his that she knows can tweak him, right? And for her, like, the worst you're going to call her is a princess. You're spoiled.
Right.
Right. And so she has this, she has a bit of like a dominion over him. And anytime he
and
tries
she got money
to
be her mom.
But. That's what I'm saying. Anytime he tries to sort of set a standard of how a relationship, like I don't want to fucking carry your purse anymore.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
And I don't want to spend $200,000 on a wedding.
Yeah. Like, right. like it's, and you know why she's not listening to him about that wedding? Because she's saying in her mind, it's not your money.
Right. Right. So you don't get to say.
You don't get to say.
So shut the fuck up and show up.
You just shut the fuck up and you show up and wear what I tell you to wear.
But even the girls were like, I hear you talking about the wedding. I don't hear you talking about your relationship.
Yeah, because that's all.
That's all she talks about.
This is, she's very, and I hate to use this term, no shots, but it feels very Jackie Jill-ish, right? Like it's very hoity-toity, debutante.
Yeah, who we're inviting and all that shit.
You know, the who's who of this.
My mother's good. Invite all her friends.
Because I'm positive there's a country-ass uncle. You know, named Leon.
He gonna get an invite or he ain't?
That nigga's not getting an invite.
Oh, no way.
Uncle Leon, definitely not.
Leon, we couldn't accommodate you.
Yeah. And all your kids.
And all your kids. It's just gonna be too much. I know you and Jackie don't want to drive on up here from South Carolina.
Exactly.
But also, her father's like, I'm giving you this, and that's it.
And that was, I mean, that was a substantial amount of money. Like, I think we came with 30 or 40. Yeah. And her mom's is like, that's whack. Like, that ain't enough.
That's a lot of coin.
40 cash? That's gone.
For a, listen, I've always said this, for an adult to get married. Like, this is not a 22-year-old girl that's been living in the house with me, and I'm handing her, you know, I'm giving her
handing
away.
Off, yeah.
And I understand, you know, I understand patriarchy and all of the things that come with that. We're talking about the traditional sense of giving away your child, right? That was the purpose of the father paying for the wedding.
Yeah.
It was to say, it was a gesture of, you know, I am giving her away to you and you are going
and you're
to
picking up the bills
you're
from here.
You're picking up the bills from here on.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
So you're all the way grown, my nigga, like 30 grand? Like, who's, like, how many people can even go to their pops for 30 grand?
Cash! Like,
and he wasn't even like, he wasn't beefing.
He was just like, I'm not giving you no more. You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, because like, you should be able to pay for the whole wedding with this 30.
Right. Easy.
You know what I'm saying? But like, this is like a drop in the bucket. And of course, to me, a lot of it is also her mom's flexing on him.
Yeah.
Like, look, I put in 120 or whatever.
Fuck out of here. They all,
yeah, well, I guess, you know, we get the reunion part one next week.
My nigga Ray was alive one, though, boy.
Ray was
because
ready to
Michael
go.
Because Michael be in his business. Oh,
and
so
he just came in and just broke into the conversation.
Also, apparently, that whole pizza thing, that was Michael's idea.
Really?
Wow.
I read it online. That was Michael's idea. So he messy right up there. That's one thing. Him and Ashley both messy.
Yeah, very. Yeah, Ray was ready to go.
Yeah. Ray
was like, back
Ray
was
full all black man.
Ray was like, you need to back up me.
Get the hell on. You been in my house. What you talking about? And it looks like they go full black man next week, too. So we get it. I want to mention this crazy-ass nail salon story.
Yeah.
So out in East Flatbush, Happy Red Apple Nails. The name is bonkers. Local nail salon seems to be mostly patronized by black folks and probably a lot of West Indian folks live in East Flatbush.
Right.
A grandmother and her grandchild went in to get their hands and feet done and their eyebrows done. So apparently, I asked somebody who knows of this salon, some girl from the job, and she said this salon is known for like, you know, fucking up some shit sometimes. Like, your nails don't always be like the way you ask.
But is it
like,
that they're quick and cheap or something?
Quick and cheap, and it's in the neighborhood. So, they East Flatbush is not trying to go to downtown Brooklyn. It's like, I'll just stay here, you know? So, apparently, this nail salon really is 50-50 with eyebrows.
Okay.
So, apparently, the nails and feet was fine, but the eyebrow wax was not up to snuff. So the grandmother had apparently paid for the nails and feet, But she didn't want to pay the $5 for the eyebrows because she didn't like it. And it turned into a whole thing. And the woman who owned the shop, all seemed to be of Korean descent, started like beating the woman and her granddaughter with like metal rods. It wasn't even like, it wasn't even broomsticks, but it was like metal.
Yeah.
Like hitting her hard, like fucking raining on her.
Yeah.
So of course someone filmed it
and they sprayed like acetone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
too.
She did in the video.
In her face.
She squirts the acetone in the woman's face.
Oh shit! I don't know
what you know how it affected her, but still,
it ain't good.
Yeah, you know.
Somebody filmed it, of course, and it looked like some of the film might have been from the security cameras because it was kind of the angle of security cameras. Now there's been huge protests in front of the shop. I don't think they've been open since then.
And actually, the protests, they own another shop, like, down the block or something. The protest is in front of the other shop. Like, they protest in all shops they own.
Just everything. Just y'all gotta go.
Y'all gotta get the fuck out.
But, of course, the nail salon owner is like, wasn't our fault. They ain't want to pay, and they was rowdy, and they got rowdy.
So you gonna beat them over $5 motherfucking dollars?
$5.
Like, it's called customer service. You're not supposed to.
He basically said, and I read an article where the owner basically is trying to. They're disputing the fact. They're saying that the woman. The story that we've gotten from everyone was that they had gotten full services, nails, hair, nails and feet, done, manicure, pedicure. And the only thing that the woman did not want to pay for
was the eyebrows,
yes. Which was the $5. The owner of the shop is disputing that and saying that the woman did not want to pay for any of the services. Obviously, there's security footage, and at some point, we'll get to the bottom.
We'll
be able to get to the bottom of that, and that the owner is the person who called the police and is saying that, you know, hey, if the cops say you can go without paying,
then you can go,
which is, again, what we've always talked about, which is the police becoming
the mediator. The two black women were not going to win if the cops walked into that salon. They weren't going to be like, okay, you guys can go.
Yeah, absolutely not. We know that.
We know that.
They know that.
Right. Exactly.
So we knew that what it was going to be. But, you know, one of the things, man, that is, this is not the first time, you know, that we've seen this.
No.
And the one thing I will add is that even though those two nail salons are apparently sister nail salons and they're owned by the same person, this is an entire network.
Oh, absolutely.
This is an entire network. So those women, they may not be up the street.
But they're working.
But they might be in Queens.
Yeah.
They might be somewhere in the Bronx.
They might be in the city.
They might be in the city.
In Jersey.
Yeah. They are definitely not going, you know, they're not just sitting at home.
No.
And apparently one of the women was arrested and booked for assault, the Asian women.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, one of them was arrested. But also one of the, I think the granddaughter or the 21-year-old.
She got arrested, charged with misdemeanor assault and harassment.
So, I mean, I think those were more formalities than anything. I don't think anybody's, you know, spent the night, you know, in jail. But, I mean, this is where, I mean, we have to, you know, really sort of dive deep into this shit, right? Like, what's the next steps? Because I see everyone saying, hey, you know, go to these black salons, go to these black places, which we should be doing anyway, right? If the services
But are there a lot of black salons, man? It's mostly the Koreans got that shit on smash.
Yeah, there's not a lot. And usually when black people open salons, it's not a quick in and out like you get with the Koreans. It's usually a whole spa experience. You're going to go get
and let me say...
Because there aren't that many of them.
There aren't that many of them, but there is also a different business model. And the one thing that we're ignoring is that when black techs have to charge you what it should actually cost.
It's going
to
be more expensive.
It is substantially more expensive for you to get those services.
Right.
So the reason that there was just like a $2 million payout, but not true, I'm sorry, a $1.2 million payout on back pay for a couple of salons that they are working those folks in there for like $3 an hour.
Working to the bone.
They're basically working them to the bone to tips. You know, that's what I mean by whole network. I wouldn't even be surprised if there are people in there working off debts.
Right.
Or there's no question how they came over here.
You know, or any of that sort of stuff. So yes, the reason you can go in and get a service that should realistically cost you $65 and you're able to get it for $35 is because it's cheap and it's fast and it's about churning out people.
Turning
them out. It's volume. It's volume, volume,
yeah.
volume.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about, you know, it being professional. Like, I got a little bit of experience with this. We've traveled. We've dealt with entertainers. Mm-hmm. We know what that shit costs to have someone come and do it for real.
Oh, that shit's expensive.
It's not cheap. Yeah. And it doesn't take 20 minutes.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely don't take 20 minutes. Yeah. Like I said, we've seen this before. And I know everybody in that neighborhood wants to shut these places down. And I understand why. And I'm not saying they should or shouldn't be. I guess I'm kind of saying it should be shut down. But what we also have to remember is, okay, then what goes there instead? And right. then the people who do go to those two salons, you know, Miss Janie and, you know.
Where do they go?
But there's a ripple effect, but there also is like, it's okay to expect a certain amount of
Absolutely. Yeah. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. No.
Because if you're serving the community, you need to be respectful of the community you serve. You know?
Well, here's what's interesting, right? They're often not. Even when it's not this extreme, right? I've been in salons, right? Where I've heard them, you know, a white woman might come in.
It's a whole different energy.
And they will tell her, you know, she will say what she wants.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They will tell her to go have a seat.
Yeah.
A young black woman will come in and they want to tell her the price up front.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So those small microaggressions, because the assumption is, okay, well, you're going to have to pay more than you normally pay.
Yeah, so we tell you now.
We're going to tell you now before you get the services, right? Because the assumption is what? Either A, she can't pay for it, or B,
there's
going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, yes. You know, the way they've, you know, dealt with people, even to the point where Jordan, my daughter, she won't go to a certain salon because she's like, I told them what to do.
And they didn't listen.
I'm like, you know, because she's 15, the assumption is you're just going to take what I give you.
Right? It don't matter.
Well, no, it does matter because I teach her, like, this is where you spend your money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You got an option here.
Absolutely. Just sidebar, the Korean, I was talking to my man in the office, the Korean thing is just very, and you know, I don't know if we'll ever see, maybe there's some documentary on it, I should look up on YouTube, but it's very interesting, man, because I don't think a lot of people understand how they've kind of networked out. So, I don't think I might have told the story on the show if I haven't, forgive me, but I remember seeing a piece on 60 Minutes several years ago. And it was, I think Clinton was still in office. This is 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the story was about, I can't remember the man's name, but he was the guy who was the head of the Korean Grocers Association lobby.
Okay.
And so they were talking about how at that point, the Korean Grocers Association was like one of the, maybe like the top three biggest lobby in the country.
Oh.
Massive. Massive. In all cash.
That's
so what they did was, obviously, back in the 80s and the 90s, the Koreans owned all the delis.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they came over and they started buying the delis. So obviously that means they own the property.
Right.
So they set up a network whereby, because remember, there's a whole thing. It was like, how these Koreans come over here? They don't even speak English. They got a store. Because they would go to the Korean Grocers Association and get the store. They would never have to go to a bank.
Right.
So to Sean's point, there's a lot of them that are deep in debt. They're paying off debt because they had to come over here. And then we're giving you a store.
Right.
But the Korean Grocers Association had everything on smash. So you got the store. You automatically getting Snapple and the beer that you need and the bread. With all the top kind of stuff that goes in the deli, you don't have to kind of go pitch for it and open. Come, they had it all on smash.
Right.
What they did after that, once they had that on smash, then they went into cleaners.
Right.
And all the cleaners are Koreans.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them. Same thing. Barely speak English. A lot of times an older couple or whatever. Same thing. And they bought all those properties. Mm-hmm. And then what they did was they started to lease the deli. They got out of the deli business. They started leasing them to the guys from Yemen and all that. Yeah. That's why all those guys, most of those guys don't own the delis. They're mm-hmm. actually leasing them from the Koreans. And then the Koreans bought all the old Pathmarks. Mm-hmm. Now, so H something is H groceries. It's like, where was old Pathmark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's now Korean supermarket.
Grocery. Gotcha. Uh-huh.
So they really had, and then they went into the nail salons.
Right.
That was for the women. Like, the men ain't going to work there. The men will run it, but the women do that.
Right.
So they have this huge network. All I say to your point, Sean, was like, they don't really give a fuck because they rolling in money.
Yeah.
Like, they are rolling in money beyond anybody's comprehension. And again, it's mostly cash.
Yeah.
It's mostly cash business.
And they're cooking the books.
They're cooking the books like a motherfucker. And they're sending a bunch back to Seoul and all that. Absolutely. They got the network going back and forth.
Absolutely. And again, it just comes down to a labor issue, right? Which is they are able to give you something for such a cheap price because they don't have to pay people.
Yep.
Exactly.
If you opened up a regular nail salon,
they don't have the same overhead.
Yeah, they don't have the same overhead. Not nearly, not nearly close.
Not even close. I want to mention the Travis Scott album came out Thursday night, Friday. It's really good.
Which everybody says, I haven't listened to it
it's
yet.
Really,
I haven't been in a space to listen to it yet.
And I wasn't a fan of his previous. Mm-hmm. Like, I like some of his songs, but I wasn't like a fan like other people, but he really pulled it together. So for all you people out here that want to kind of hear like what the new kind of hip hop sounds like, you should really listen to that album. It's really good. None of y'all watch Love Is, right?
No.
Brother, don't fuck with the Akills.
No hate, man. Don't say that.
And every time I think I'm going to start, more people are talking about how much of a jerk dude is, which makes me not want to watch it.
Last night, he was the most asshole he's been this season. But last night was a tumultuous episode because they go to Oakland to meet his mom, played by Loretta Devine.
Of course.
And, of course, she's playing the same role the past 20 years, and his ex-wife, because that's something that's kind of irking me. People like online and stuff are like, oh yeah, his baby mama, and I'm like, y'all don't pay attention.
That's his ex-wife. Right.
That was his baby's mother. Like, they were married,
right?
He has a son, and I know you're gonna watch it eventually, so I'm not gonna give it away, but like a lot of shit goes on, and it's a lot. Your man's a dick. He's baby boy. He's literally baby. He's a spoiled kid. You can see his mom. It started with his mom, and he literally goes to women who will spoil him and let him do whatever he wants to do. That's the type of woman, because like his baby mom, his ex-wife was that. Then the woman he came from Oakland to L.A. with, who lived, he lived when he met the current. She
just goes from woman to woman.
Woman to woman, and they just let him do. And even now, Mara's. And if you listen to Mara talk about Celine, She still spoils him. She's like, hey, he's just so brilliant about it. But everything Celine's done, no disrespect, because he is talented. But he's done through her.
Yeah.
That nigga, you ain't worked on your own ever.
Right.
It's always been an Akil production. I get keep the money in the circle, but like, it ain't like you getting calls from, Scott Rudin to do a film. It's like you're doing a film because your wife put some shit together.
Yeah.
But as asshole-y as it is a good show.
Right.
Like, it makes, you want to watch it week to week because it keeps kind of building.
But yeah.
His character's not fly at all.
You also love a certain kind of show, though.
You do. You like
in
mess.
In fairness,
you like mess. You
soap
like
opera-y, over
drama.
The top. Yes, you love that.
That's
shit.
That's why I can't wait for my girl, Yana, to come on Saturday night.
Like, be like, quit, no way, just say that. Did you see that?
I'll be telling you, fucking tweeting and texting y'all. Fucking bullshit here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, Peace Diana, she coming on Saturday night, along with that show I told you about, Mind Your Business.
Yep.
And then Sunday is Ballers, and then Insecure.
Which is going to be, it's going to be
Insecure going
to
like the, it's going to be.
Well, no, it's going to be interesting because there's no, what's Lawrence Hobb going to do with themselves? Because the fights with Insecure.
Well, it's going to be David now.
True.
It's going to be David Hobb.
But a lot of it was still about you know, Lawrence was a large contingent. I mean, there's still going to be some back and forth. I'm just curious to see if it's going to be the level.
It'll be the David Shepard. They'll also swing to that storyline with Dro.
Yeah, I forgot about the Dro storyline. Real quick piece to Randy Moss.
Yes.
Who got inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And wore a tie, listening all the black men and boys who have been killed over the past. Men and women.
So the joke was, Ray Lewis was sitting next to him, like sweating through his jacket. Somebody said that he was trying so hard to keep the coon bottled up next to Randy in that tie that he literally was sweating through his jacket because he was sitting next to Randy.
Ray spoke 33 minutes.
Yeah.
33 minutes. He walking around the stage. It's like, nigga, like, come on, man.
He's went through a whole jacket, my nigga. He's annoying. That shit look like he was playing basketball.
He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame and all that.
Listen, there are a couple things that they need to do, and they definitely, I agree with Tony Kornheiser, who said they need to fucking,
cap the speeches.
No, they need the music. Play them off.
Play them. Yeah.
Stop playing them off, man. Like, they should cap that. I mean, they do cap it, and realistically, they're giving them a certain amount of time. It's just, what are you going to do as someone's Hall of Fame speech? They don't get to make this speech.
Yeah, it's once.
It's once in a lifetime,
yeah,
right?
So you can't really
like. But that's the problem, is that you get a guy, like, yeah, if the cap is 15 minutes and a guy goes 18, you can stomach that. Cap is 15, cool. The guy goes 20. Yeah. Come on, 35 minutes, bro.
That's too much. 35 minutes.
Nigga, that's long enough.
Ray thought he was preaching the sermon.
Dude, this is why I can't stand him. Like, I don't like anything about how he moves. Like, nothing about it. Yeah. Nothing about his post-playing career. Yeah. I'm good.
He got caught in a lie. Because he said from the stage, I still kiss on my kids in the mouth. And they showed the kids who are grown. Right. And the kids is like, no, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't.
I'm surprised that GIF didn't come out with all of them shaking their heads.
Like, one of his oldest sons would be like 24, 25. Like, nah. It was all like, nah, you don't. No, you don't. No,
you
don't.
You are wilding.
You are wilding right now. Baby mama drama. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Have you seen this story?
I saw
a little bit of it.
So Angelina Jolie is going after your man for child support.
Right. So it's like,
nigga, in fairness,
hold on now.
It's about 11 of them goddamn kids.
Here's the thing. Like, okay, so I'm not trying to cape for Brad.
I'm caping for Brad.
But let me say this.
I'm taking it personal.
So let me say this. So there's two things. I said this today, and I think one of my friends got offended, but. So Angelina, there is a faction of people who have said that Angelina is trying to launch a smear campaign against Brad during the course of this divorce.
Mm-hmm.
It started by her saying she was going to give one of the kids. He had a child. He had a child. He had an ACHK.
Oh yeah, yeah. But she called him on him, right?
That's what I'm saying.
People's on him. Yeah.
It started with that. And he was found cleared of any wrongdoing.
Yeah, he didn't do shit.
And I don't know what they call it, child services, whatever they call
it. Yeah.
He had child services.
BCW, that's what he used to call it back in the day.
Then there's been, like, rumors and stuff, but people were saying this is what Angelina does after a breakup. Like, she's very vindictive.
Yes.
And I haven't been wanting to really say that or harp on that because it sounds very, like, anti-woman. Like, oh, Angelina's a strong woman, so she must be evil or whatever.
Is she, though?
But that's one faction of people who are saying this. So with this, Angelina is saying, so apparently Angelina and Brad had an informal arrangement for child support. It is not on record. Nobody knows how much it's supposed to be. But she is saying that he has paid no quote unquote meaningful child support over the past year. But nobody knows what that means. Like, nobody knows what that means in relation to their agreement. Nobody knows if it means that she's
going to get enough. I got some stats here, though.
Nobody knows. So she's now going to put him on papers for real.
Which is bullshit. Because
Brad's people say he fulfilled their agreement.
With the agreement, he loaned her $8 million to buy her current home and has paid $1.3 million in bills.
Okay.
Since 2016. So 2 years, he done paid $1.3 million in bills and gave you $8 million. Which I'm sure he ain't beat her in the head to get back for your crib. What are we doing here, B?
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm caping for her in terms of child support. What I was saying was that the fact that she would need child support is not surprising because there's so many kids, mm-hmm. or that she would be asking for it. Now, reasonable.
Where's her money at, though?
Let me say this. Reasonable mm-hmm. is always. Reasonable is a subjective word.
Because these are people with a lot of money.
Yes. And so the problem with these discussions is that every time, you know, people that are not used to or don't really have the range to understand.
Somebody who's getting $103 a month from Curtis.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Who be skipping it.
That $48 check.
Curtis ain't paid me since June.
Yeah. You know, so it's very hard to wrap your head around that, right? But yes, there is a level of lifestyle that those children are accustomed to and that they are going to maintain. I don't get the sense that this is a deadbeat situation. This is not somebody who was just like, I'm out, fuck you, and I'm gone.
Good luck with that.
Brad has had, he's been in entertainment now at least, he's been famous for 25 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's never been any sort of rumors or innuendos or suspicions about his character. And I'm not saying I know him.
Right.
I'm just saying at this point, I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt of not being a messy person. Now, on the other hand, Angelina has a bit of a history
of being messy.
Of being messy. Of being, you know, of breakups being, just shit just going left and just really getting nasty. And so, this is why people like that go to their attorneys. This is why they have that agreement is probably bound by attorneys. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's an agreed upon. I'm sure there's documentation. Even if it's not signatures, there's absolutely an agreement that they've reached.
Yeah. Mm. He ain't just coming over with some groceries.
$60.
I bought Maddox some shoes.
Nigga coming over with $320s and some Pop Tarts.
I'll spend all that.
I get my hours last week.
Boss of hair and some school clothes.
So there's a level. So look, I get it. I also think that, you know, we also operate with this idea, man, that money is infinite.
Yeah.
It is not.
Right.
When you don't work and your lifestyle doesn't change, and I don't think she's working. Now, I don't know if she's not working due to wanting to be a mother, and that's fair. And I'm not even saying that, you know, in any of that sort of stuff. But yeah, dude, if you've got you got a $15 million fortune and you live in a $4 million a year lifestyle,
that's gonna go
and you
quick.
Ain't working every year to replenish that, I mean, you know, shit dries up quick. Now, listen, she ain't, I'm not in her pockets. I'm not saying she broke. And even if that's the case, a person like that wouldn't be poor people broke.
Yeah.
They'd be rich people broke.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't fly private now.
Exactly.
I got to go call American Airlines.
Exactly.
You know, get my upgrade.
I can't stay at the hotel we used to stay at. I got to stay at the
spot. I can't. I had to sell that house.
So we
got to stay at the hotel now.
You know what I'm saying?
We had to sell the villa in Italy or wherever they got.
Exactly.
They actually own a castle. They own a castle.
Yeah, they own a bunch of shit. Like, listen, anytime you hear guys saying, I'm going to slide you $8 million. Like, who fucking has, like that's some pretty long bread.
Here you go. And not even hurting.
He ain't out here. He is not on Craigslist looking for old futon.
Word. I promise. He good. So, yeah, I just thought that was an interesting story. Like, she's turned it into some baby mama.
I mean, I understand that. But also, too, this is also attorneys, man. This is also attorneys.
That, too.
These attorneys, man, this is what the fuck they do. These divorce attorneys, they will twist, they will do whatever they can to drag out, to draw out.
Because they're trying to get their money.
Of course. They're not trying.
They're
getting it on both ends.
Yeah, right. True.
The front end and the motherfucking back end.
And the back side. Yeah, so, peace to them, man. Good luck and God bless. I wanted to mention this Detroit church fight.
I didn't watch it, but I heard about it.
So this fool was the one who Trump went to church. Who was when Mama Rosa did the church up at the church? Yeah. It was his church.
Isn't it like a storefront church? It ain't even really a church.
No, it's a big church.
Okay. But they didn't do it in the actual church when
I think they did when you talking about when with the Trump kid. Came. You talking about when the little girl didn't want to kiss him. That
no, when whatever church Omarosa took Trump to, they moved services outside of the actual
sanctuary.
Oh,
they probably have a secondary auditorium.
Yeah. So Pastor Wayne T. Jackson is his name. He got up in front of his congregation and said he needed $1,000 from everybody.
From the tithers.
I need $1,000.
Which is a member.
And if you ain't got that, you can give me $300 from each member of the congregation.
First of all, that's not how tithing works.
That's how none of it works.
That's not how none of this shit works. Did he say God told him to say this?
No, he said that he wanted $1,000 and he won $1,000. Meanwhile, he lives in a mansion in Detroit. He drives a Rolls, of course. Then he told people, somebody on the thing was saying, I remember how Creflo did that. Shit, when he told people he wanted his jet.
Mm-hmm. But at least Creflo had the audacity to claim that it was a God thing because they needed it for mission work.
At least have
the nerve to wrap it up and some Jesus. Don't just be up there like I need this paper.
So the church goes ham and people start going crazy. And start fighting in the church. They're trying to get it at Wayne. And some of the deacon. Okay, let me turn that on. That's from the church. That's a YouTube video from the church.
I was going to say, bro, what you been watching on that laptop? That was from the church.
I was going to play a clip of the church fight, but here's my thing, right?
Everything about, without knowing anything for real about that church except the things we do know, I know that there was bad gospel being preached in that church.
Oh, yeah.
I know
bad gospel.
I know he's full of shenanigans. I know he wasn't bringing a word. I know that none of this could have been surprised. There's no way you were getting fed anything good in that church. So if your fool ass been sitting up in there,
letting him
lead you for all this time
with the bullshit,
that's what you get. That's what the fuck you get.
What do you expect?
Frankly. Because there's no way there was good doctrine coming forth in that church. Yeah. There's no way.
So it's impossible. That leads me into the black pastors that went to go see Trump.
Fuck all of them. Including John Gray, man.
That was the photo op.
The photo op was Trump and John Gray all smiling, shaking hands, looking chummy and shit.
I think John realized Jesus did not
tell y'all to meet with Trump. I promise he didn't.
So they're led by this coon nigga, Daryl Scott. This is like the second time at least he's done this. Like, he keeps rounding up these pastors to come see Trump. So the White House called this gathering to talk about prison reform and opportunities for ex-convicts, reopening of steel mills, urban issues, job growth for the minorities and the president's leadership and faith. This, which is bullshit. Trump is down to build more prisons.
Yeah.
He ain't trying to let nobody out.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? That's not kissing up to his base on any level. Right. None of these agendas are, to be honest with you. But this coon Daryl Scott is cozied up to Trump, and he somehow keeps, like I said, rounding up these black pastors from around the country to come see him. Scott is on this shit where, like, he always talks shit about President Obama and bigs up President Trump. And again, John Gray got caught out there because he's put him right next to Trump, and Trump did the handshake or whatever. No one's gonna be a photo op. John Gray then got on IG and tried to explain his way out of it, basically saying, you know, God spoke to me
that morning. No, he didn't.
I'm going to stay with what Nick said. Nick said, his wife basically was kind of like, you sure about this shit? Because this ain't going to be good. And he said, God spoke to me and told me to go there with an open heart and try to speak to him and speak the word into him.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, but John turned the comments off on the IG.
Because he knew.
He knew.
because he knew. Because you knew. I promise you. And I am a Christian. Nobody, my God is not telling nobody to reach out to Trump because the nigga is unreachable.
He's the devil.
He is the devil. There is no turning him. There is no changing his mind. He is, like, that's what kills me. Like, I had a conversation with a couple of people on Twitter who claim to be Christians, and I'm like, there is no fruit of the Spirit in him. He is the opposite.
He shows you every day.
Yeah, I'm like, he is like seven of the fucking 10 deadly stuff. Like, all the 7 deadly
sins. It's like John Graves. You think he was going to go talk to him, and he was going to be like, oh my God, I'm coming to the Lord now.
He's all of them. He's all of them. And I just don't understand why, like, and somebody else said this. Somebody else said that black preachers still believe that when you are invited into audience with people of position, like, it looked like you think it's favor, like you think you're being invited, like, you know, there's a scripture that says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Like, you think that's what it is. But not in this case, because he's going to use you.
That's all he's
going
to do.
There is no elevation.
As soon as they walked out of the room, that shit went out the window.
Yeah, there is no, he's going to use you. There is only elevation in it for you if you want just to build your own name and your brand and get some dollars. There is no way in which you can edify the people of your community through meeting with Trump. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And any pastor who thinks it's going to happen, I don't believe you. I think you're doing it for yourself.
I completely agree. I think that there is, they're not very many people as egotistical as pastors.
True. Yeah.
They have incredible egos. Some of them are conscious of said ego. Mm-hmm. Like, they're aware of it. Mm-hmm. They're conscious about that. And then there's some of them who, and in my opinion, John Gray will fall into this. Some of them who are under the guise of trying to do the right thing, when in essence,
they think they're humble.
It is the right thing for them.
Yeah.
Right? For them.
For them. It speaks to me, and every time I see this guy,
Gray.
There is something about him that just don't curl all the way over. Right. It don't curl all the way over. Now, I understand that I am not of, I was raised in a church that was very old school and very traditional. And, you know, I always make the joke, you know, I ain't with the hippity hop gospel and all that. You know, I'm joking, but I am in seriousness.
Not really.
Yeah.
And that is not a church in which I was raised.
Right.
And there is a certain level of, you know, understanding your community that is expected, especially from pastors who are ministering to so many in these mega churches.
Yep.
Like, these are not storefront churches. This motherfucker, they're in the Omni, bruh.
Yeah. Well, he moved to South Carolina to a big church, but yeah, he was in the Omni.
But he was in the Omni.
Yeah, yeah.
My point.
Yeah, there thousands of people every week.
He was on TV.
Multiple services.
He's
got a show on OWN.
That's what I'm saying. There is something very me about him.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fault a man for wanting to, you know, I understand that people are drawn to fame.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the reality. And who else in that room had a fucking huge ego and is drawn to fame?
The
president.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. That's exactly what this shit is about. So he can go in there and tell me, like, the fact that he thought that going to speak with the president was the best course of action for him to deal with prison reform, when in fact, your best course of action should have been, initially, you could have met with your municipal councils to start to maybe tone down some of the activity in your local area. You could have met with state legislation to start to maybe decriminalize and take down some of these laws that are in your state and in your region and your governor. Like there's so many levels to having had done the right thing.
Right.
But this is just what it appears to be. Sometimes shit is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It looks exactly the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And he can tap dance and he can do this performative moral high ground that pastors do, not just him, that pastors do in general, right? And it's bullshit. It's utter and complete bullshit. The fact that he thought that John Gray has zero history of being a person about reform.
Yeah.
Zero.
None.
Yeah. Why are you even here, bro?
None.
It's not what you do.
None.
It's not what you do.
None. That's not his bag. Yeah. And I'm not saying it needs to be, because every pastor ain't called for that level of service.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? But nigga, don't sit here now and tell me this is the same shit as Kim going to sit with the president.
Yep.
Like, there's so many more people that are more experienced than you, that have more data than you, that have a plan of action than you. But you wanted to go to 1600 because you thought it was an honor, and you thought I know them niggas was in there key-keying and laughing.
No, they was.
So you niggas can miss me with that.
Hit me, take a picture of me.
Yeah,
right,
you niggas can, you niggas.
Yeah.
Every last one of you niggas can miss me with that.
Yeah. Yeah, this shit was, that's a giant, Scott I expect because he's a coon.
Right.
He's in dude's pockets. At this point, no, that's his job.
That's his job.
That's his job.
Hey, nigga.
As far as I know, he don't have a church.
Right.
He's just an ordained pastor. Yeah. Or shit. I don't even know if he's an ordained pastor.
Actually, yeah. He might be.
Nigga might have got it from DeVry.
Exactly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
University of Phoenix.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But he has the access. And this is the same shit that we've seen time and time again. This is now the third time in which Trump has used black people in positions of power with black voters, black constituents. He has used them as far as he did the same shit with HBCUs. And the reason, the only reason that we said, okay, we got to give them a little bit of a pass here, is because there is a greater good at risk, and that's the federal loans and the federal the access to federal money that they have to show up.
They kind of can't just not show up. Yeah.
So for you guys to just show up there, man, and fucking locking hands and acting like, and it's not just John Gray. John Gray just happened to be the most famous one. All you niggas should have had uprisings at fucking Sunday 10 a.m. service.
Yep. Because one of the Jamal Bryant, who obviously got his own issues, got on his.
Wait, he was there too?
No. Oh, he got on YouTube and was raiding on him for going.
Right.
And one of the things he said, which I thought was, he's got his own issues, he said, yo, did any one of you motherfuckers say anything to him about Maxine Waters?
Right.
How he talks about her crazy.
Yeah.
Did any one of you motherfuckers say anything about, yo, why the fuck you be talking about Maxine Waters like this? And then leading to the next couple of days, because then LeBron and Don Lemon do an interview.
Right.
And he goes after LeBron and Don Lemon and call him stupid and all that shit.
And
it's like,
IQ.
This is the man y'all went and praised?
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what they did.
The man called LeBron dumb, who just built a public school.
And there is a level of the one thing that I fear, not fear, but like one thing that I really don't like about our folks, man, is that we have such an aversion to asking and questioning people of authority.
Yeah.
And we do not, the pastor is there to lead the flock.
Yes.
It's not the fucking other way around.
Yes. Yes.
You are not to succumb. If you got questions, you fucking go ask.
Yeah.
You know, and this has always been my problem. And I say this as somebody, again, that has grown up in a small church. I understand. I remember going to and walking into the study and pastor was there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like this, you got to come to me between the hours of this, so I can't be here because I'm filming a TV show. And, you know, ministering just ain't in the fucking pulpit on Sunday.
It's 24/7.
And also, there is checks and balances even in the church, because there is a business of the church.
Absolutely.
So you have deacon boards, you have trustee boards.
You have church meetings.
Like the membership is supposed to have a say in what happens with your church and what your pastor is doing.
Absolutely, because you are the face of this church.
Yeah.
And you can effectively ruin this church.
Yeah.
Right? Because guess what? If you went and you went to go fucking meet with somebody of ill repute.
Right.
Sister Jones would have been up in arms at that trustee meeting. You best believe that
shit. I wonder how it went this Sunday pastor some of these churches.
Because I'll tell you, my congregation was ready to get my pastor up out of there just for going on fucking sabbatical. Wow. They would have been, they was like, where you at?
You could just stay going. You could just stay going.
So I'm like, y'all, you know, so I know something like this, they would have been like, oh no, we need to have a meeting immediately.
Crazy.
But again, these are churches like with Creflo's church, mm-hmm. where the pastor is deified to the point where you forget it's supposed to be about God. He's not a pastor.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like the Trump thing. He's been by his 33%, 35% of followers, they deify him to where it's not about the United States of America.
Really like it's
It's like he's like a supreme leader.
And to me, the last thing I'm going to say about this, what is worst about their action here is that it continues to shed a light on the black church.
Yes.
There is a lot of shit that is wrong. But there are tons of black churches that are doing the work.
Yes.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
They're available. They're giving resources mm-hmm. to the community. They are encouraging people, trying to bring in new parishioners and things of that nature. Mm. And this is what we see.
Yeah.
And what happens is when we see
you get the negative energy.
You get the negative energy, you get the negative. And so the fact, and this is also what I mean about ego, the fact that these dudes would not have seen that and not have said, this isn't just about me. This is going to be a black eye for all of the parishioners. This is going to hurt us.
Yeah.
As a collective.
Yeah.
Right. Like as a collective of pastors, as a collective of people who have been chosen to give the word, this is going to affect us adversely.
Absolutely.
I should not do this because of that.
Nah. I want to get on TV.
I want to get the photo out. You can't talk unless you at the table. Like, you really fucking think you have some sway, dude?
Yeah.
Really, bro?
Think Donald Trump gave a flying
fuck. Now I think you stupid.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. Let me tell you what I haven't seen. I haven't even seen Trump do photo ops with white evangelicals.
Because he don't need to.
Exactly.
He doesn't need to. He
but
has
to. But that should tell you something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then Trump will be like, my black preachers.
Yeah, where's my black preachers?
Look at my African-American preachers.
Oh, this nigga, man.
Black preachers love me. They're going to give me the black vote, whatever. I can't even know. Like, I hate this administration so much.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to somebody who's doing the work and fighting the good fight every time he go on TV. And that's my man, Charles Blow.
Charles
Blow be getting on.
Fly.
Charles Blow, if you watch old clips, Charles Blow is our James Baldwin.
Right.
He gets on these shows. He's super educated, very well spoken,
right.
Highly intelligent, and ain't taking no shit. And he destroys people every time he goes on these shows. So I just really love when he goes on, especially him and Don Lemon now, because Don Lemon done come home. Don Lemon done come home. He's still on the news. He can't go super radical, but Don Lemon is definitely like letting more of that black shit out than he was 2 years ago. I know, bro don't care. Bro still. I told y'all back when I see him uptown.
That was that's your man. I'm leaving.
Nah, that ain't my man. Go ahead, bro.
I ain't sold on that nigga. Right.
Well, him and Charles have definitely created. Him, Angela Rye, him, Simone Sanders. They have a little thing now.
They do. But here's the thing about Don and Angela, not for nothing. Listen, it's a good time to be woke as a black person.
But.
No, that's it. It's beneficial financially. When Obama left office and Trump came in and started shucking and jiving, while Obama was in office, you could be the safe black person. That's fine. You could play them games. All good. Don all of a sudden fucking on TV dressed like Stokely goddamn Carmichael and shit with a fucking jacket on and a turtleneck.
That got some greens back in his life. Mama sent up one of them pound cakes that Miss Edna made.
That nigga still eating kale. I ain't
from Louisiana, man.
He was at Ferguson acting a fool.
He was at Ferguson
talking about how it smells like marijuana in the air. He was in Ferguson. Now, what might have changed was Alton Sterling. Who was the one who got killed in Baton Rouge?
Alton Sterling.
Because he's from Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
I think that shook him a little bit. But I think, really, if you're black and a media figure, it is not, like, it was beneficial for you for a little while to play the safe line. Right now, you got to choose a side. But being woke is popular. Yeah. So, motherfuckers, take that shit. Like, Angela Rye's doing it. I think Donna's doing it. I think Charles is for real, because Charles has always been this person.
Yeah.
Right? As far as I've seen him on TV. I think that Angela is this person at her core, but I think she plays it up.
She definitely
because
turns
she's
up.
Like, because she's, like, the current savior of wokeness or whatever.
Simone.
I think that Simone, I think, is real with it.
Yeah, no, I'm just naming the people that are doing it. I'm not saying she's fake. I'm just saying.
On the non-news side, and I mean, with Angela, we gave her too much power. Like, she side-eyed a white person on TV one day, and all of a sudden, we was like, that's my girl.
Oh, my God. She dating Carmen.
That's my cousin, Angela. Yeah. Whatever the fuck. We got to stop putting batteries
on. Well, you know, we get carried away sometimes.
We get way carried away. You know. And then homegirl, what's her name? Who plays on Insecure? Who plays the, Amanda
Molly.
Seals. Amanda Seals is full of shit. But all of a sudden, she another little woke queen. Whatever. So, I'm just saying, we got to stop feeding in the motherfuckers as soon as they roll their neck, give a quick side eye,
give a
quick clap back.
I feel like Charles, Angela, maybe your boy, Dyson, Michael Eric Dyson.
Yeah.
And maybe not Simone. I feel like they all got together at some point. In D.C., had some dinner somewhere, and was like, look, Don, this is what we doing. Get on board, my nigga, because this is the way to go, because if you stay on the other side, you're going to be ostracized.
No, I think Don just read the temperature, because, listen, it was acting a coon that got Don from a weekend spot to a nightly slot.
This is true.
Like, it was after he did them 4 points about sagging pants and all that fucking shit.
I think all of that, you know? I think they
and
all...
And the Black Twitter clapbacks. Like, all that shit got him to where he is right now.
And I think this is where the money is.
Right.
And I don't think that... I'm not saying that all of them are disingenuous. I'm not even saying that Don is even disingenuous in some of these instances.
What you're saying here, though?
What I'm saying is that them niggas flip-flop. And what I never like is I never like a nigga I can't put my finger on.
Man, which way you going, nigga? Left or right?
Because now I have to safely assume it's never on my side.
Right.
Just so that I'm clear.
Ain't no greens at Don's house.
At all. You getting kale.
I like
no kale. Seasoning.
Well, I like seasoning.
No seasoning, bro. Not no salt. Not nothing.
Not even sauteed kale.
Yeah.
Some kale.
I meant to mention, before we wrap up, that I totally forgot. I went to watch the, y'all wouldn't care, but I went to watch the Alexander McQueen documentary.
We care.
It's really interesting. Obviously, he's a big fashion icon. He committed suicide, I guess, a year or two ago.
It was fairly recent.
Right. And it's, you know, it's... The story is obviously about his life and how he grew up and how he got his shots. It was very well done. Because they covered the fashion thing for sure, but they definitely really focused on
his life,
who he was as a person. And he obviously was, you know, prone to depression at times, as most these fashion designers do, because
that's a lot of pressure,
because it never stops.
Yeah.
Like, you go, you put all your heart and soul into figuring out this, you know, spring collection.
And then you just gotta go to the next one.
You gotta go right to the next one. Once that show is over and people come and say it was great, you gotta start to think about the next one, like, right on the spot.
Right.
The wheel, which is why so many of them end up being on drugs and depressed and, you know, up and down with their weight and all that, which Alexander was. He was really up and down with his weight. He ended up having gastric bypass, which I didn't know.
I didn't know why he lost all that weight. I didn't remember him being that big.
Yeah, he was definitely heavy, but he wasn't like 400 pounds heavy. But he just, I guess he said, fuck it.
And
but they mentioned that his mom died, and like, he killed himself like the next day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like they were... His sister had called him to talk about the funeral for their mom.
And he was gone.
And they couldn't get him on the phone. And then somebody went over there and he was hanged. So, like, all the depression he went through, what really took him over the top was he couldn't handle his mom dying.
That's
just
crazy.
Yeah, so I guess in a deep, dark space, he hung himself.
That's crazy.
But, you know, he was, like, obviously a super successful designer. You know, he made a lot of money. And I didn't realize how much he had done. I forgot he had did Gucci for a while.
I forgot
he did Givenchy for a while. he did like a few other lines before he went to finally doing his thing full time. But it's really well done documentary. I suggest
when it comes to like something like
Yeah, it'll be on like Amazon.
I also wanted to shout out while we were speaking to all the news people, Tamron Hall has announced that she has a show coming.
Good for
finally.
Her.
Finally. With Disney, ABC, somebody, I don't know.
She deserves it.
She does deserve it. And, you know, it's been a minute. Like, it's been, like, what, a year?
At least, maybe more.
Yeah, okay, because it was before elections.
Yeah,
so it's been over a year that she's been gone from NBC. And, which I know NBC regrets because their ratings started immediately dropping.
Nobody want to watch Megyn Kelly.
Don't make a fuck about Megyn Kelly. It was painfully bad, the Megyn Kelly thing. So, congratulations to Tamron. I missed her on the air. I really miss Nerdland on the air, too.
Yeah, but I don't think that's ever coming back.
It's not. I'm just saying I miss it.
Yeah. Oh, and last thing before we wrap up, and this one's I don't know if you watch it, but this one's for you, bro. We still have never discussed the Campbells.
We don't.
Yes.
Oh, did you watch it?
No. I caught an episode one day.
It's really good.
It's cute.
I hate to be this nigga, but like. And I,
Tina was the problem.
Yes. I tweeted.
But I've been told y'all that.
I tweeted the woman who does the show from TV1. I can't remember her name. She when the show first came on, she tweeted like thank you, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, like Tina being a very small role in this show changes the whole tone of the show.
Maybe I never said it on air, but I think you did. Tina
did.
Obviously.
Like,
without question.
There's a different energy. Totally. I like the show. It's a little heavy-handed. Yeah. Like they try to come with a message it's very after-school special at some certain point.
Yeah, they do.
But I like their interaction. I do appreciate that they have a relationship in which they've been pretty open publicly, like about the ebbs and flows of a marriage that is this intense in terms of working together as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to sort of dive into. But, you know, they love each other. They seem to have a great family, great support system around.
Kids are nice.
Like I enjoy the show. It's light and it's not overly scripted, but it could be a little
message.
It could be a little message.
But like they had a show about the oldest daughter feeling uncomfortable because she's dark skinned, so she didn't feel attractive. There's a show about Warren's sister Joy, like her place in his label and as his sister, and then I guess she's been through like a abusive relationship, I think, at one point, and they talked about that. Erica had talked about at one point she thought about committing suicide. So there's definitely like they definitely bring up stuff about, you could say, just kind of going on in the community or whatever. Yeah. But Tina's only been on it once or twice. Google's on it more than Tina.
Yeah, because I think she's a bit of a lighter person.
Right.
She's way lighter.
And I think that's always the issue, right?
And also, Tina probably got a whole bunch of fucking conditions and shit to be on camera. Yeah, like, I don't want to do this.
And my man Teddy ain't been nowhere around. I don't know where Ted at.
Lord.
Teddy, I tried to stay alive.
I also want to shout out, we haven't talked about Black Ink much because
I haven't really been watching it that much.
They up to the same bullshit.
How is it?
They up to the same bullshit. But y'all won't care about this, but I asked this question on Twitter today because I thought it might have been bugging for, like, in the past, like, 5 episodes, suddenly got cute.
Well, he cut his hair down.
It made all the difference in the motherfucking world. Like, now, he looks like a nigga Nikki should be fighting over. Because before, I was like, Nikki, girl, what are you... nobody cares about 4.
So, is Nikki dating him on the show?
Not Minaj. Nikki, his girlfriend, Nikki.
Oh, his girlfriend's name Nikki.
Isn't her name Nikki?
The brown skin
one. The one who always acting crazy.
The one who threw the water at him.
Yeah, the one who always acting nuts.
Okay, I know.
Now he looked like a dude that she should maybe be acting, going ham over. Because before I was like, girl, nobody wants him. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, he cute. Okay, I understand.
He washes his ass and got a haircut.
He got a haircut and a lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
And because he was funny looking with all them twists, like part of it was colored, and his beard was always scraggly, so he cut his beard down and got a Caesar.
Is Don doing the same dumb shit?
Everything. Yes.
And that girl's still hanging around.
No, she moved. She went to her mama's house. Oh, she back. Oh, yeah, she back.
She came back and, you know.
She went to her mama's house. She got a DUI while she was at her mama's house. And the shops have split up. So Ryan is opening a new shop.
Okay.
He left Nah Mag in the hands of these fucking miscreants. And these niggas can't get right.
What about the van, nigga?
Van is there too. So they trying to run the shop. It's like all for one and one for all type shit. They fighting every day.
When you got more than one boss, nigga, you ain't got no boss.
You got no bosses.
It's a mess. And I'm waiting for somebody to be like, oh, now I see why Ryan was like he was, but they have no self awareness.
They have no clue.
Like Charmaine went and finally registered the LLC, so she was like, I own this shit. No, you don't, bitch. You own a piece of paper that says you own the LLC. It. You don't own the building. Like, you know, it's just so it's foolishness.
They are the embodiment of the old country saying of you don't know shit from Shine. Them niggas don't know nothing.
They know nothing about nothing.
It's a place that... Do they actually do tattoos?
They have more people in the shop who don't do shit than people who actually...
People just hanging out.
Like Charmaine arguing over her cousin Danielle getting to still work in the shop versus an actual tattoo artist that Lily was trying to bring in. And it's like, Danielle don't bring no money in the shop. She's a receptionist. The fuck? Like, you need artists. You need people who are going to bring income into the store. What is wrong with the shop?
What I don't understand is, how does Don, how has he not done any type of stretch yet? Because he be doing, like, real shit, like DUIs, assault. Like, he doing, like, real felon crimes.
I think he always gets caught, but I don't think he's gotten caught on a felony yet.
Isn't a DUI a felony?
Depends. Sure. I don't think it's automatically a felony.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, but his shit is real. I mean, listen, man, you also have to take into consideration where he is, right? Like, you know, he ain't shooting nobody.
Let him out. These jails is full with niggas wild.
Yeah, we got...
They shot 70 people, over the weekend in Chicago? Yeah.
We gonna hold nigga for DUI?
Yeah, let him out of here.
Stop drinking.
Get the fuck out of here. We ain't got them sandwiches.
Yeah, his bomb was like $5,000.
Oh, shit, okay.
It's not nothing crazy.
Yeah, I haven't really...
Again, you're not missing nothing except to watch them and just shake your head at how stupid they are, which is what I always do.
I don't know if you can answer this, bro, but I need to know that Peace to Mona Me Entertainment. The Ray J hat!
Yo!
Nigga, did y'all do that on purpose?
Or like, I think Ray might have done it on purpose.
If you can't go behind the curtain,
I feel like Ray might have done it on purpose.
Because this shit was
But
genius.
That's like, there was one time when one of them girls, not Nikki Baby, who's the other one? Hazel Lee, had on two different wigs during the same shot. So this is nothing. Like, the bitch had two completely different colors of hair.
I can't say for sure what happened. I'm not an editor.
Yeah.
But I would assume that the editor had to, in order to,
he had
for
to edit
the shot,
conversation.
He had to edit the conversation.
And the nigga just kept moving his hat?
I think that's what happened. Right? I think
Ray was just talking.
Remember,
just like,
I know people think it's scripted. But when these conversations are happening,
niggas
are in their element.
Right.
So you get a nigga might, you know, nigga fucking with his hat We talk like that.
Yeah, we do.
We talk like that all the time. That's not uncommon. If you have a conversation with a nigga in a barbershop,
nigga moves hat five times.
Of course.
But it was really funny because every shot
was
you turned back to
hat.
Ray,
yes.
The hat was in a different position. And I don't think it was in the same position twice.
It wasn't.
Ever.
And of course, he threw up a Ray J hat.
Yeah, challenge. They had a Ray J challenge. So,
I saw the Ray J hat challenge. Somebody put the crying Jordan on him.
One of the things I love about a guy like Ray J and why he's great for reality TV is that he goes with this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah, he wasn't like, well, I fucked up, y'all put that up. He's like, yo. Let's do a challenge.
It is what it is. But yes, if you're having a conversation and it's a real conversation, the editor can't necessarily
just stop.
Yo, yeah. It's like, you know, they're shooting the scene.
Yeah.
If he's moving his hat during the scene, the editor, I mean, he can't just be like, you know, yo, I'm gonna move your hat in post.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't work like that.
That shit was awesome. That was awesome. I love that. So that's it. We're going to wrap it up.
Later.
We'll see y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.